During the Right Rug Flooring Anniversary Sale, we're celebrating 91 years of the guaranteed lowest prices. With beautiful carpet with a lifetime stain warranty starting at $219 a square foot installed with pad. And luxury vinyl starts at $399 a square foot installed. Unbeatable prices and 24-month special financing available with approved credit. Schedule a free in-home appointment with our flooring experts at RITERUG.com. Right Rug Flooring's Anniversary Sale. Right.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
So, I got arrested once for drunk driving. Not only was I drunk, but I'd been smoking hash. When I took the breathalyzer test, I inhaled, tried to pass it to the cop. YOLO. So, I was arrested, pled guilty for my community service. I left the community. Did acid once back in the 70s, was able to see, I swear to God, ladies and gentlemen, was able to see 40 years into my future. I was taking a nap. Nailed it. Not too long after that, I had an acid flashback while I was suffering from acid reflux. For 6 hours, I thought it was a spicy buffalo wing.
As we are adding to our, not F-E-F, our F-Yeah Fridays, we are doing funny and F-Yeah. And our friend of the show, but a really good friend of yours, Andy Huggins, is our featured man today.
Yeah, what makes it hilarious to me is you see this 67-year-old man with gray hair and a gray mustache, and then he's up there talking about it, and then he says stuff like YOLO. And you're just like, really? Yeah. That's the beauty of it. Yeah, you can catch a lot of that stuff on YouTube if you just Google or search for Andy Huggins. But he's got an album out too, so if you want to do that, it's on iTunes and Google Play. So check it out.
He's a funny dude, big baseball fan too. It was great when he was in
huge baseball fan. Yeah, that's why I like hitting the road with him. Is he's just sit there and tell Earl Weaver stories for days, and they're great.
That's awesome. Hey, before we go any further, too, I want to give a shout out, which I didn't get into the first segment, but shout out to my wife.
Oh yeah,
kind of a really neat honor, and she's not big on promoting herself or anything to do with these kind of things. They're doing a benefit concert at College Station tomorrow night with five former presidents.
It's up 1-800-Flowers.com.
In attendance.
With
what? Five former presidents will be in attendance, along with a laundry list of names that are going to be raising money for the hurricane victims and everything like that. And the Bush clan, 41 and 43 and their people, personally requested Lisa be a part of
that's
the program.
That's badass.
Be backstage, not badass. She's badass every day.
We want you to be badass.
Be backstage.
Nice.
Talk to the entertainers in between and the presidents, and then kind of fill time between as they change the sets and stuff. I just thought
that is fantastic.
Amazing.
So congrats to her. Yeah, give her my best and congrats. And that's really cool.
So look the hell out. Mr. Mom's going to be on a roll tomorrow because I've got the kid all to myself for 24 hours.
Oh,
that's going to be a
man.
Crazy
Did
one.
You have a sick kid this morning?
Yeah.
That sucks,
well,
man.
Well, she's been sick. Yeah, she's been sick all week, but she had her, Harvey screwed up her 2-year checkup.
Oh.
So we made it up today.
Okay.
Boy, there's nothing that rips your heart out more than
you scared me with your text. You didn't word it like that.
Yeah, because we were running short and I didn't want to be late for the meeting, but I want to be there when she gets a shot.
Right.
And she,
is she a crier when it comes to the shots, like big time?
She's pretty tough about it, but at the same time, she didn't even see it coming. They wait, they try and distract her, and then they throw that needle right into her thigh. And I'm just like, oh, man, when your kid starts crying, it changes everything.
Yeah,
so I had
to
stay with her for a while, but and I appreciate you guys letting me be a little late today. But, yeah, that so we got that out of the way, and then tomorrow I'm like, well, let's see, the Badgers are on at 11:30. Hopefully we'll have game 7 tomorrow. The Rockets, I'll hopefully fill my day with TV time while hopefully she sleeps a lot.
Oh, just rub a little Jack Daniels on her gums. Is that legal?
I don't know, but it's not legal with my wife.
Oh,
I can assure you
okay.
of that. So
I think that's how they used to do it in the old days, like when we would travel across the state in a covered wagon. They just rub some whiskey, some hooch on the baby's gums.
Yeah. No, definitely. I mean, in the Midwest, that was like a no-brainer.
Really?
Yeah.
That's great.
That's
I was just being silly, but that's awesome.
Like I told you, like when my dad and his friends were watching Packer games when I was growing up, they all had those really solid, sweet beer glasses, the big tall ones that they'd fill up with, you know, their Pabst Blue Ribbon and their Schlitz and all that. And we'd walk up and just be like to each of our dads who were in the living room, be like, "Dad, can we? Sure, go ahead, son. Take a good shot of that." I was drinking. I was taking a good shot.
No wonder everyone is an alcoholic from the Midwest.
Dude, when they wean you off the nipple when you're a kid, you go right from the nipple to a good Miller quality product.
Nice.
Just letting you know. See, that's why I don't drink anymore. I got my fill when I was 6.
I see that. I see that. You were, it took all you had to quit drinking.
I'm telling you, man.
Been doing this since I'm 4 years old.
If you got good foam on the, I was going to say something else, and you'd roll with that one, and that would be used forever. But if you have good foam on the beer, it's hard to get it through the nipple of the bottle.
I know what you were going to say.
I know, yeah.
You were going to say if it had a good head on it.
There you go.
Weren't you?
Yes, I was. And then I caught myself.
Oh, it's all right. It's a beer term. I'm not childish.
Okay, anyway.
I'm pretty childish.
So the other sports we were talking about that we didn't get to yet after talking so much about the Astros, but hell of an end to the football game last night.
What a football game it was.
Yeah.
It was almost a perfect football game, I dare say.
Why would you say that?
925 total yards, no turnovers, time of possession split right down the middle at 30 minutes each. Crazy plays, the deflection for the touchdown, a 99-yard touchdown drive after a perfect special teams punt, pins them at the 1, a last-second come-from-behind victory, a fight, an ejection. You tell me. That's almost
five,
a perfect
what
football
was it,
game.
5 plays run in the final 16 seconds because
I know,
some of them
drama
without
and
any
intrigue.
Yeah, they had to be dead ball plays run because of penalties.
I love it. That's a perfect football
it was great.
Game.
And I'm glad that I
Other
caught
than
the end
penalties,
of it.
There was like 18 penalties, which prevents it from. I said almost a perfect football game. The 18 penalties, I think, prevents it. But other than that, first time the Chiefs have lost back to back games since October 2015.
Yeah.
And you know what? It's not getting any easier because Denver's up next. They could lose 3 in a row.
Well, and that's the thing.
After
for all
being
the people
so hot,
that were rolling, that they were just the best cream of the crop team in the NFL.
I was on that bandwagon. Yeah. All you had to do was watch it and
people
see.
Are now jumping off.
It's like, yeah, there's going to be some sprained ankles over in the Kansas City area. But yeah, their pass rush was almost non-existent last night. I mean, the Raiders had to come from behind. Man, they jumped out early. Couldn't run the ball, but Cooper goes off.
Right. But while we were just talking about him with Sigmund Bloom, too.
And Sigmund was fading Cooper, and then all of a sudden he shows up, and it happens. You know what I mean? It happens. But the Raiders' D got stingy in the fourth quarter. Yeah, man, that was a really good game. I was looking at what's coming up, and because I was watching, I forget, maybe it was SportsCenter this morning, but they have Booger McFarland on. And he was talking about, maybe it was last night, Scott Van Pelt, but they ran it again this morning, and they asked him, Is this win save the Raiders season? And he said yes.
I think it does too.
Well, okay. I'm going to disagree with both of y'all.
Well, because you probably did the analytics and did a little
No, I just looked at the schedule.
Well,
let's
that's
look
enough
at the schedule coming
as
up.
It is.
They've got the Bills, the Dolphins, the Patriots, and the Broncos all up next.
They'll win 3 of the 4.
3 of the 4. Yep. I have them going 2-2 in that, which puts them at what? 5-6. There's still not a winning record. Even if they win 3 of the 4, that's 500.
Oh, that's right. They were really bad.
For
when
the
Carr
remaining
was out.
Of the year, after those four, they've got Giants, Chiefs, Cowboys, Eagles, Chargers. Even if they go 3-2 in that and they go 2-2 in these next four, that puts them at 8-8. They're missing the playoffs.
Yeah, they are.
They've dug themselves in such a hole.
I was so right at the start of the year when I said they were one of the teams that could really fall off. But
yeah, you nailed it. You nailed that.
I thought.
They were the sexy pick coming into this
year.
No
question about it. And I thought adding Marshawn Lynch was going to put them even further over the top to do what they need to do. But nonetheless, You know what you get with Marshawn Lynch, and sometimes it's what you want, and sometimes what you have to deal with. Last night was bizarre.
It was weird. I mean, coming off the bench like that, and then it looked like he was going in there to go after Peters, and then you realize that they're cousins and friends, and what he was really trying to do, apparently, was just break things up. But then the ref started pushing him, and he grabs the ref by the shirt. You can't do that.
That's
he pushes
bye-bye.
The ref. He's out, and you're going, what happened? What just happened right there? It's because even Romo was saying, you don't need to come on the field. There's three offensive linemen attacking Peters. They've got it handled, but he's coming in there to separate them because obviously it's his teammates, plus it's his cousin or friend or whatever. It's just weird and bizarre, and he's the one that gets ejected from it.
Can I take it a step further for you,
sure.
too? So now people immediately were wondering, is he going to get suspended? Not alone is he going to get fined, because they said the minimum fine he's going to get is probably $35,000 or more for putting his hands on an official. Then it's going to be a suspension. Now, will the suspension go up or the chances and probability go up? Because he not only didn't leave the stadium, he watched the rest of the game in a section with fans with a ski mask on and then took public transportation home.
What?
Yes, we'll get
to
that.
I didn't see all
yes,
that.
We'll get to that
oh my
and a
God,
whole lot
great.
More as we continue to talk about last night's game. If there's something on your mind, Chuck, we see you. You want to talk Astros, line up behind Chuck and get in line. 713-780-3776. HRNP listener line. You can call, you can text, you can hit us on Twitter. Back with a whole lot more. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. Wow. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, Tyler in for Nick. Barry and Joel till 4. Usual Suspects on an Friday. Got a little humor and comedy with Andy Huggins, which we will have even more of throughout the show. Jeff Blum, AT&T Sportsnet, Astros TV analyst, and all-around good dude. He does prefer the word dude quite a bit. He'll be joining us at 2:30 to talk about this big game tonight and hopefully a big weekend for your Astros as they return home against the Yankees. That'll be fun. Before the break, we were talking about the game last night, which was fantastic, and the Marshawn Lynch deal.
Yeah.
Yeah. So last night, fans start taking pictures of this strange dude in the seats with them. It was a Raiders home game, wearing a ski mask with just the eyes cut out of it and a hat and a certain sweatshirt. And then later, other fans tweeting out pictures of Marshawn Lynch riding public transit home from the game with them and wearing the exact same outfit as the guy who was in the seats watching the rest of the game after he got thrown out.
So you think he's in trouble? I mean, he wasn't on the sidelines. He didn't come in the game. Why would you? Why would he be in trouble?
Because now you remember now. Now, I'm just going to take you back to other sports because I don't know what the NFL rule is. Bobby Valentine, when ejected from a game, came back and tried to watch the game with a mustache on in a disguise, got caught, and got hit pretty hard for that. Like, I don't know if there's a rule that just means you can't be in the field of play lot, you know, you can't be anywhere out on the field of play and that it's okay to still. I think in the NBA, if you decided to watch the rest of the game from a suite or from a section of seats in the building, I think you'd be in trouble. It's the same reason, like, when Draymond Green was suspended for a game. Or if any player is suspended from a game, that means you can't, like, even if you're on the road and you're going home after the game, you have to watch it in the hotel and the bus has to go back by the hotel to pick you up after the game. You are not allowed on the premises of the arena, in the building, in the bowels of the building, the locker rooms, suites, et cetera.
That seems a little harsh.
That's the way they do it.
But that's hilarious that he's riding the BART home and just chilling.
That's his, he's O-Town.
Funny.
So he's straight O-Town. Yeah. So that's going to be interesting to see how that whole thing plays out too. And kudos to you for breaking all that down. I thought with that win, the Raiders would propel themselves to being right back in it. But based on their record, and I forgot how bad they tanked when Carr was out.
They're
going
to have to play the Chiefs again. They'll probably lose that.
At Arrowhead.
Yeah, the Chiefs, they've got the Chiefs, Eagles, Cowboys, Patriots, and Broncos still on their schedule.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah.
All right, so Jeremy wants to get in here on the Marshawn Lynch thing real quick. Jeremy, what's up?
Hey, how's it going today, guys?
What's up, man?
All right, so here's my thought, and I don't know what the rule is on whether or not he can still be in the building on premises, or I don't know that taking public transit home has anything to do with anything, but if you look back at the film from when that incident occurred, I'm wondering if we should take a case-by-case basis, and by we, I mean the NFL, of whether or not it was more of like a heat-of-the-moment type deal, just because when you look at the film, it appeared Marshawn Lynch wasn't even looking at the ref when he put his hands on him. Now, granted, you don't want anybody leaving the bench. That's understandable. But if you're in the middle of a heated moment like that with more players, don't you think that if somebody comes up behind you and just grabs you, your first thought isn't, oh, that's the official. Your first thought is, here's another guy that's trying to grab me and push me around in the pile. That's my take on it, guys.
Jeremy, I'm with you. Hey, appreciate the call. I'm kind of with you in the sense that if there's an official and I'm in the middle of a fight and an official puts his hands on me, that should be a two-way street. Like, you can't just start shoving me back and grabbing me and pulling on me, especially in the heat of the moment, and expect me not to retaliate.
I agree with you, right? But when I watch the video, if you catch it from like the side or the back, you don't know who's grabbing you. I totally get it. But when even in the video, you can see that he goes eye to eye and realizes this is an official, and he doesn't immediately let go.
He shoves him back.
Yeah.
But I'm saying this. I don't even care if he saw him. You can't be an official and start shoving other players. Throw your flag, blow the whistle. But when you start pulling and pushing guys...
Oh, they do it all the time.
I know they do, but you're talking about grown-ass men. You don't start pushing
like
grown-ass men
like on a scrum or a fumble or whatever. The players aren't allowed to do it, but the officials do it all the time.
Pulling a guy off the pile, yep. That's one thing. But when there's a fight going on, it's not the official's job to referee a fight and to break it up. You throw the flag, you blow your whistle, and but to start pushing guys back and like physically pushing them, I think that's crossing the line. Like, if anybody pushes me, that's going to be an issue, even if you're an official.
Well, and that's intimidating in itself. But I think the other thing, too, is that Jeremy was missing in the whole thing is he ran off from the bench. And
that's the bad thing. But he was coming in.
So he was going to get penalized no matter what. Okay. He might not have been ejected.
Now, that's true. He did come from the bench. But if he was supposed to be in for the next play, he could have just said, I was coming on the field to be on the next play.
Did you see it, though? I mean, he put the helmet on and went nose deep in it right away.
But you can't prove intent in that case. But, yeah.
I'm going to try.
Well, you know.
But, all right. So, yeah, that's going to be interesting because, you know, the NBA has that rule that C.J. McCollum got suspended for the Blazers season opener because in preseason there was a scuffle and he took like 2.5 steps onto the floor before the assistant coaches could yank him back. And he admitted, he goes, that's dumb. It's on me. I know the rules. I should have known. I think in the NFL, I don't know what their rules are, but if nothing else, he was going to get at least penalized.
But rarely do guys come off the bench in a fight in the NFL.
Agreed.
Rarely. So it's not an issue.
All right. As we wrap up that topic, Manning wants to get in here real quick on Marshawn Lynch. What's up?
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead, man. What's up?
I just wanted to say Marshawn must have lost his mind. In no sport can you accidentally grab an official. He never should have come off the bench and should be suspended for that. But I would expect it to be very severe from the league, and if not from the league, from his team, because those regular-sized guys are supposed to wade into the middle of 300-pound men and separate them. And if the league doesn't protect them, they'll be dead.
Okay. Appreciate the call,
that
Manning.
Wasn't even you foreshadowing what could have been a nasty comment, but
I don't know that they would be dead. I'm just saying you don't have to break up a fight like that. The guy, eventually, it's either going to stop or the players will break it up themselves. But, I mean, as an official, you can get in between two guys and all that. But when you start shoving guys back.
Well, you like remember the one that comes to
mind. I think you're crossing the line.
It was the offensive lineman. I want to say it was from the Browns where the official did that. He threw the penalty flag and it hit the guy in the eye.
Yep.
But that also that he was laying his hands on the player, and that's when the player took exception. And so, you know, that's I don't know what past precedent says besides that incident, but look, there's something to be said. You got headgear on. And with a helmet, it's you don't have your head on a swivel. Nearly your range of sight is limited at best. And yeah, if someone's pushing you, especially when you know that there's an altercation going on, and someone's grabbing you from the side, the shoulder pads, the arm, or from behind, You don't know if that's a guy from the other team or someone else, and you're on the defensive. You're trying to protect yourself. But I would say that when I'm watching the video, and I went back and watched it, but when he Marshawn went eye to eye and realized it was an official, not someone from the other team, and he still wouldn't let go and pushed him, now I think that's when you're solidifying what's got your fate and what's going to happen to you from the league.
Yeah.
We'll see. It was crazy. All right, so some of you guys want to talk about the Cougars, unbelievably. Some of you want to talk about Houston sports, and others of you just want to keep chiming in on the Astros. So you guys hold tight. We'll be with you in just a second. We're at the midway point, so we're going to take a quick break and come back after halftime with a whole lot more. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, back on The Usual Suspects, coming out of the halftime break. It is Tyler in for Nick. It's Barry and Joel as we take you up till 4 o'clock, till we turn it over to the Blitz. And a friend of the show, I think I could say that now, a good dude, and a guy that really knows his stuff, is my man Jeff Blum, who has joined us throughout the year and is joining us again right now as we get ready for big Game 6 and hopefully a big weekend for your hometown 9, the Houston Astros. Blummer, thanks as always for joining us. We certainly appreciate it.
Always good being on with you guys.
For future reference, your group of choice for your intro music, I should know this, and I know you tweeted out a song the other day, but Tyler needs to notate this for future reference because he is a music aficionado.
No, that's why I played it, because I saw him tweet it out.
Yeah, somebody's onto it.
Yeah, Megadeth, right?
No.
Yeah, it popped up on my
Oh, you're a Megadeth guy, but what's the other group that you saw here in town this year that you're a big fan of?
Chevelle.
I knew it started Chevelle with a C. Fan. Yeah, Chevelle. I knew it was a car name.
All right, well, Blummer, if you had Megadeth and Chevelle concert same time but different venues, who are you going to see?
Chevelle.
Oh, wow. Okay. Look at that.
There you have it.
Yep.
All right.
Made
so
the call.
Let's get it. Let's get into it because you know it's been a hot topic around here and around the city. And, of course, we even talked about it yesterday, the overall feeling of Houston fans because of their previous sports experiences is not good going into this thing. But what can you tell me that's something good about your feeling, the team's feeling, and what you see playing out here in Game 6 and hopefully Game 7?
Home teams have played very well and won the ball games in the ALCS. I think the Astros are good enough to win. They play well at home. It's very tough in any portion of the season to go out there and beat the same team four times in a row. And the Houston Astros have Justin Verlander going, who is 3-1 with a 1.48 in elimination games. So I think there's a certain mentality of these guys. They wanted to get back. They are back. And they still have an opportunity to win. And there's a moniker going around town for a very long time here in Houston called Clutch City, and now is an opportunity to live up to the name.
So what's it like in that locker room right now, and what are the vets telling the guys that may be pressing a little bit?
You know what? At the end of the series, or at the end of the three games in New York, you know, you read some stories about it was a tough place to play, but then you hear about Carlos Beltran and Brian McCann having a little bit of a meeting. And I really took that as the veteran guys explaining to this team that they still have an opportunity. I don't think they... It reinforced the negative. I think they told these guys that this is an opportunity to get back to who we are and prove that we are a better team. So I appreciate the fact that these guys, even in a dire situation after losing three in a row pretty ugly up in New York, that they still need to understand that they have an opportunity to make good things happen here in Minute Maid Park.
And, I mean, that's why you went and got them, right? That's why you got yep. McCann and
Beltran,
yeah, to have those talks.
No, absolutely. You need to have that positive reinforcements because it's easy as a young player to go out there and go, oh, man, it's terrible. And even in this day and age with the 24-hour news cycle and social media, you're just going to get beat down and beat over the head with some of the negativity, and you need to really draw within and become a new ball club when they open up here in Minute Maid Park.
You've been with this team all year long. There's been some other underlying topics going on because of the three games in New York and some things I wanted to pick your brain on. One was, would you have pulled McCullers when AJ pulled him? Because a lot of people forget the fact that this guy didn't have all that many starts in the last month and a half of the season. And, you know, obviously getting you into the seventh with that pitch count, he had done his job. But there's a lot of people that questioned it, thought it was the wrong move, thought he could have gone further. So I want to get your thoughts on that. And then the whole Brad Peacock situation on top of that. When were you supposed to use him? Did he use him in the right spot? Those two questions were pressing. I want to run them by you.
It's tough because in talking with AJ and understanding how he manages ball games, there are so many other factors going into these games and so many other analytics that are going into these games. There are a lot of voices down in that dugout sometimes, and there's a lot of things going on before the game. And AJ has even said that he tries to manage these games before the game happens. You hear managers talking about how they don't want the game to get away from them. They want to stay ahead of the game. And this may have been a pre-planned thing, saying if AJ feels that Lance McCullers is getting in any kind of trouble, I'm going to go get him. And that may have been the situation. But if I have to be brutally honest, I didn't feel that taking out Lance McCullers in that situation needed to be done. I truly felt on the outside watching that ball game that Lance McCullers, even though he gave up a mega bomb to Aaron Judge, it was one bad pitch. And that was really the only bad pitch I saw from Lance McCullers in that outing. I thought he was pitching extremely well, and I still felt that he was a better option as opposed to what was coming out of the bullpen. And as far as Brad Peacock, that's another thing. We don't know how his arm was feeling. We don't know if he had gotten hot earlier in the game and felt something that he didn't want to come out there and pitch with. And I don't know, you know, what the game plan was, but on the outside, again, looking in and watching this ball game, I would have assumed that Brad Peacock would have backed up Lance McCullers in that situation, especially with the lead and knowing that Brad has similar stuff that can get right-handed bats out with that slider that he has.
All right, so I'm going to let you still critique what's going on here because we've made it we talked about it a little bit. Do you think it was a mistake starting Keuchel on the road and not saving him and Verlander for game 6 and 7 and maybe going with a Morton or somebody else in game 5?
No, I think no.
Okay. Short and sweet there. Look, I think that's everybody else's concern. They feel very, very confident in Justin Verlander. But then they're worried about the matchup of Sabathia and a fresh Sonny Gray waiting for the Yankees, and then wondering, is it McCullers on short rest and what the Astros are going to do from a pitching perspective in the biggest game of the year?
It's going to be all hands on deck. We know how these games go. And if everything goes according to plan and from what we've seen from Justin Verlander, he's going to go out there and throw 120, 130 pitches, get through 8 innings at least, and hold down the Yankees and allow the offense to score more runs. Hopefully it turns into a situation where you bring in Ken Giles, he shuts the door, and we show up again tomorrow on Saturday, and we see Lance McCullers start that game, maybe on short rest. You talked about how he still has bullets in the tank, and maybe that's why he came out of that game earlier in New York, is because they wanted to save him in case they had to come back to him on short rest, knowing that they could save some pitches. If and when that game gets to tomorrow, it's going to be Lance McCullers, Charlie Morton, Brad Peacock, Dallas Keuchel. It's going to be the whole shebang out there in that bullpen. So I think that the key right now is just to make sure that Justin Verlander gets the offensive support for what he's about to go out and do.
You see it a lot in the playoffs, and we've seen it from this team all year, but one of our listeners texted the show and had a question for you. They were curious your thoughts. Do you think the Astros shift the defense too much?
Now that I've called, 150 some games and I've had a chance to sit there and watch a lot of Astros baseball and had a chance to talk to AJ, they are very aggressive and I do understand why. I have had a chance to look at some of the heat maps on where these ground balls are going. There is a lot of data and a lot of information being crunched in order to move these guys into that position. This isn't, a one-year stat sheet where they looked at where ground balls were going and said, yep, that's where we're going. No, this is like, you know, this is as long as these guys have been playing in the minor leagues and in the big leagues, where they've been tracking where they are hitting these ground balls. So, you know, they do shift a lot. It will bite them in the butt sometimes because they shift so much. But, I just feel that, you know, I have faith in the process. I have faith in what they're doing. Sometimes it does get a little extreme as far as moving everybody on one side of the field as opposed to the other. But it's a nature of the beast. These are the Houston Astros we are watching, and we need to understand that this is what the shift is, and this is how they're going to play baseball.
All right, you've been a big stick in the playoffs. You were a stick in the mud in 05 when you took out the Astros. But you know the offensive side of the game as well, and that's what we haven't talked about yet. What's up with the offense? How do you get them going? Do you change the lineup at all? And your overall thoughts on what's going on and how to get out of it from an offensive perspective?
I'm not changing the lineup. These guys are too good, and they understand how to play the game. I think the three games in New York really got to them, and mentally they broke down for the first time all year. The day off is going to be good for them. Showing up tonight in Minute Maid Park is going to be fantastic for them because the vibe is going to be completely different. It's going to be a sea of orange and a sea of cheers. The backdrop is going to be better. They're going to see the ball better. But if I'm anybody in that clubhouse, and I say this all the time throughout the course of the season, when things are going bad, the video coordinator in there needs to just get a pump reel. You need to get a highlight reel, get some good music, show these guys raking, show these guys barreling pitches up, because those guys still are in that clubhouse. Those guys are still going to be in that lineup. And when they get the strike zone command back and they force Severino to start throwing strikes in the zone, these guys are going to get the barrel to it, and they're going to start scoring runs, and it's going to snowball.
I love it. I mean, the Rockets did some of those things when they got to their new locker room, and I think that's a great idea.
Yeah.
The other quick question for you on that front, though, is are they really – the body language says they're pressing. Springer looks like he's not the same fun-loving, free, yeah, happy-go-lucky guy that's having fun talking to AJ. You know, it just seems like they're pressing, and how do you get those guys out of that?
Right now you just say, hey, this is it. You've got nothing to lose other than the series if you go out there and play the same way. So why not change things up a little bit and go back to that personality that won them 100-plus games and got them to the American League Championship Series? I know the runs have been hard to come by, but that doesn't mean that you can't go out there and get them and create them. AJ, throughout the course of the season, has always said, if I can get these guys in this lineup to get two or three good things to happen in the course of an inning, big things happen. These guys are due. I don't know. I don't care how you have to explain it. You could go in there right now and tell these guys that you are overdue. Be yourselves, and you will get your knocks and start to find holes. I would love to see them go out and get a couple of bloop hits like we've seen the Yankees get, because if the second you start getting bloop hits, it sets that that defense on their heels a little bit and questions themselves, and it puts that pitcher in a position saying, man, I just made the pitch of my life, and now I gave up a hit. What's going to happen next? And hopefully that's the way things start to go for the Astros offense.
Jeff Blum joins us on the HRMP hotline. Jeff, before we let you go, what are your thoughts on tonight's game? How do you see it going?
I think it's going to be great. I think Justin Verlander is going to go out there and shove like he normally does. He's got a great game plan against these Yankees. And his ability to adjust mid-game is great, and I love to watch it. The vibe is going to be unbelievable at Minute Maid Park. And you're going to start to see these guys come back and be who they are. The offense is going to score about 5 runs tonight, and we're going to show up again tomorrow and have the same conversation.
Did they win the series, Jeff?
Yes.
Outstanding. Now, I'm going to give you one final hypothetical that we were given here on the show just to see what you think, all right? You get 3 runs right now and Verlander on the hill. Do you take it, or do you let the dice roll with the fact that you said the offense is going to break out?
I'm not sure I understand.
So you either get 3 runs...
Oh.
And Verlander, or you just let it ride as, hey, play it and see if the offense breaks out.
I'm taking Verlander in the 3 runs, and we're going to tomorrow.
See, that's what I did, too. As much as I want to believe that they're going to break out tonight, knowing that Verlander's on the hill, I just felt confidence that that's more than enough with that guy riding the bump.
I'll tell you what, that could relax the offense, too, saying we've got Verlander out there. We know he's going to hold the other team down, so why don't we go out there, relax, and get him some runs?
That's a great point. I'm sure you're going to be there, my man, but we appreciate you spending some time with us. We look forward to catching up when we start talking about the World Series. But enjoy yourself. Have a great weekend, and thanks for the time.
I will. Always good being on with you guys. Have fun.
Jeff Blum right there on the HRNP listener line. Always good stuff from Blummer. We appreciate him. We're going to take a quick break. Back with a whole lot more Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
listening to ESPN 97.5. Is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
I had a favorite drinking game I liked to play when I was drinking. My favorite drinking game was called Leave Me the F*** Alone. Rules were real simple. All you needed was a pack of Marlboro Reds and a Jack Daniels on the rocks. Actually, that's all I needed. All you needed was to leave me the f*** alone. Back then, I was on what I called my military diet, Captain Morgan and Captain Crunch.
Andy Huggins, our comedian of choice, as we F-Yeah Friday some funny business into our Fridays like we're going to be continue to do. Barry explained it at the start of the show, but he's a friend of the show, big baseball fan. Good stuff from Andy right
there. We got two texts. One says, what does the F-Yeah stand for? And then the next one says, I actually heard F-Yeah Friday this time. I've been listening to y'all every day since the conception, and every time I've heard F-Yeah, F-P-F. What? FPF, like that's not even a, like you're definitely not listening. We've made it very clear.
You do realize that at most pharmacies and grocery stores, you can buy Q-tips.
Right.
It can help clear this whole thing up.
Speaking of that, I know we're a very short segment. We're going to get to the calls, but have you seen this earwax removal spiral thing?
Is that the thing that you light on fire and it heats
no,
up?
No. That's a different thing.
Okay.
But this is like some spiral of death that you put in your ear. And it's flexible, and it's spiral-shaped, and it spins, and it's supposed to clear the earwax out of your ear.
I do know that they said that for all the people that think that they're cleaning their ears when they put a Q-tip in it, it's really just jamming the wax down.
That's what this does. This is like almost like an auger, where it just pulls the earwax out. I might have to get one of these.
You're going to try it and let us know how it goes?
I might have to get one of these.
If Nick was here, he'd find a way to get it donated for free so you could give it a shot.
I've done the ones where you put the funnel or whatever in your ear and light it.
There's one that's like a wick, like a candle wick, and you light the one end and it heats it up so it gets
warm. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Like, my wife is into that. I don't know if that's a Latina thing or
if it's just... I don't know, but I'm not doing that.
Yeah, we did that. Yeah, it was kind of weird. It feels weird, but you feel all right afterwards.
If it goes wrong in haywire, you can't exactly have a new eardrum put in.
Right.
Just saying. All right, so we got a couple calls we're going to get through here on a short segment, as Barry mentioned. Let's go first to Ben. Ben, what's up?
I was just wondering, I'm 23 years old, and I've known Houston sports, unless you want to count the Dynamo, to be not Clutch City. All I've known Houston sports to be is to... Charlie Pololo didn't like to say it, the C word, choke. And I thought maybe that we had gotten back to Clutch City back when Houston came back, the Rockets came back to the Clippers. And I know these Astros players don't probably subscribe to that theory and don't know much about the Houston sort of aura that is maybe around the city. But you have to start eventually thinking that something's in the water here until they break it. So I was just wondering what y'all can tell people my age or, Houston sports fans in general, because I'll get on Twitter and I'll be like, ball game if the Yankees start to score two runs in the bottom of the third inning. So I don't know what y'all can maybe tell me or maybe what y'all have seen that can ease our anxiety a little bit.
Yeah, Ben, I wish I had good news for you, but I'm 20 years older than you are. I've lived here my entire life, and I'll tell you, we talked about it yesterday a little bit, about is it pessimism or is it just a learned behavior? And I think at the end of the day, I've always said it's a learned behavior. We've gotten used to losing in this town, and I think it's true. I mean, when I see the Yankees go up 3-0, I'd be like, that's ball game. That's it. It's over. But I won't lie. I still get fooled, though. Like, when the Astros went up 4-0, I really thought they could win that game. And then Houston happened.
Yeah.
I mean, Houston, as a sports city, whether you want to call it bad luck or just bad mojo or just whatever it is, It's not. Mm-hmm. It's not performing.
I mean,
it's
I
not
tell you guys
good.
This. I'm not from here, but Lisa right away said, "Oh, four runs. They've got this." And I went, "No,
huge mistake.
I don't think they do." I in my heart and in my gut, I felt like this was going to be a down to the last pitch, last out game, and it scared the hell out of me. And lo and behold, they scored six unanswered, and it's like, unfortunately, the vernacular that goes over as being acceptable now is, it's just another Houston.
That's it.
And that hurts.
Well, yeah, I was telling people I was exploding. I worked late, and so I was exploding at work when they were coming back, and I was like, this cannot be happening. And they're, well, what's wrong? You're not joking. Y'all are going to win this. Y'all are going to win this. And I had to say, shut up.
Yeah.
Just shut up.
Yeah.
And leave me alone, because I know exactly what is happening right now. And
yeah.
It's hard to not be like that. But it is really just become a learned behavior since I've come into sports existence.
Yeah, man, appreciate the call. Listen, I'll tell you, other than the 2 years that the Rockets won championships, this has not been the best history of sports for our town.
And
for,
even
for
after
city.
That, when Stockton hit the shot,
I'm telling you,
when the Jazz won Game 7 here in Houston on the home floor, there's lots of other ones besides.
Astros get to the World Series, and then look what happened.
And Jeff Blum was a part of that.
Yeah.
You know, what do you want to hang your hat on the fact that you had the closest margin of victory ever in a World Series in which you were swept?
You're swept.
That's not a good thing.
Nope.
You know, it's not a good look. I mean, even the Lidge Pujols, and you even mentioned, look, they ended up winning the series, but that one hurt. I mean, you could go on and on.
You look at the call on the board next. Nick, we're going to come to you after the break and talk Cougars. Think about U of H. Think about the Phi Slamma Jamma era when they ran into Georgetown, when they ran into NC State. It's across the board, man. Other than two Rockets championships, and I'm not going to certainly not include the Dynamo and Arrows and the Comets in this. We're talking the three major sports or four major sports.
Okay. Let's just, I mean. That dynasty needs to be rewarded.
Bad mojo.
All right, Nick, we're coming to you next. We got two in the books, one to go. Plenty more of the big show. Don't go anywhere. And if you want to participate, please do. HRP listener line is open with the exception of Nick, 713-780-3776. Send us a text to that number as well. Barry's checking those. Otherwise, hit us up on Twitter. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
At Ability Chiropractic, we do things differently. We believe lasting health starts with understanding how your body truly works, not masking pain with quick fixes. Our doctors take the time to educate and empower you to take control of your wellness journey. Through gentle, customized adjustments, we help restore proper function and unlock your body's natural healing power. That's why Columbus families have trusted Ability Chiropractic since 2012. See the difference for yourself. Book an appointment today at abilitychiro.com.
During the Right Rug Flooring Anniversary Sale, we're celebrating 91 years of the guaranteed lowest prices. With beautiful carpet with a lifetime stain warranty starting at $219 a square foot installed with pad. And luxury vinyl starts at $399 a square foot installed. Unbeatable prices and 24-month special financing available with approved credit. Schedule a free in-home appointment with our flooring experts at RITERUG.com. Right Rug Flooring's Anniversary Sale.
Right.
Coda salutes those who served. Veterans Ride Free Tuesday, November 11th. And every other day of the year, our veterans and active duty military personnel get a 50% discount on all fares. It's all part of Coda's ongoing commitment to show appreciation for your selfless service. To ride at no cost on fixed routes, tell your bus operator that you're a veteran or use code VET2025 in the app to use Coda Plus. Veterans Ride Free on Tuesday, November 11th for Veterans Day. Veterans get a 50% discount every day on Coda. Plan your ride and learn more at coda.com/trip planner.